Amen. Take your Bibles. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Tonight, we're going to begin a new Bible study on Wednesday nights on the book of Proverbs. I have probably 40 to 50 pages of notes already on it. I have no idea how long this is going to be. I'm not going to belabor it, but I think it'll be interesting to you. We're going to take probably 2 weeks and introduce the whole book to you so that you understand it a little better, all right? And I don't teach the Bible in an expository way. We're not going to go the and what the word the means and Proverbs of Solomon and go into the history of Solomon, the son of David, and go into the history of David. It's not going to help you. That's a long, hard way to get through a book of the Bible, let me tell you. We'll get through it topically and get through it practically, but I want you to understand the book of Proverbs a little bit. Let's read the first six verses together, and let's see how things turn out here. I am going to let you out right on time tonight. I'm going to do that. I've got everything worked out to where we can. So, Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to read the first six verses together. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now, if you take notes, that's fine. You might want to write them in your Bible. It may help you a little bit. Probably one of the most important books of the Bible is the book of Proverbs. It's probably one of the most underrated books as far as importance goes. But I believe it's one of the most important books of the Bible for every Christian to read and to be familiar with. It is a practical book about wisdom. I'll give you a couple ways you can read it on a regular basis. Did you know if you read, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. If you read one, if you read the chapter with the corresponding day of the month, you could read through the book of Proverbs 12 times in a year. For instance, today is May 2nd. So you would have read Proverbs 2 today. Tomorrow, Proverbs chapter 3. And on the 20th, you'd read Proverbs 20. Just read it according to the date on the calendar. And you can read through the entire book of Proverbs 12 times in a year by reading it one chapter a day. I did that for a long time. I had somebody challenge me. You can read 5 chapters of Proverbs every day and read through it in 6 days. And on the 7th day, read chapter 31. And you can read through the book of Proverbs in a week. I did that for about 10 or 12 years. I have read the book of Proverbs over 500 times. That's not a lie. I have bathed myself in the book of Proverbs. I recently, a few years ago, I went through the book of through the Bible. I've memorized over 700 verses just in the book of Proverbs, and I haven't set out to memorize them. It's just you read something 500 times, it's going to stick even in a brain like mine. The book of Proverbs is a very, very important book. It is an entire book of the Bible dedicated to the topic of wisdom. And boy, do we need wisdom. Our world needs wisdom. The word proverb comes from a Hebrew word. It's a compound word, proverbum. It's a word, it means a word that means more than meets the eye. In other words, it means there's something more than what you just see. All right, that's what the book, that's what the word proverb means. It means a word that is more than meets the eye. Proverbs are very deep, but very simple and very practical. And yet they can be applied in virtually every situation in life. I heard a very great and wise preacher this week. He's dead and in heaven. But I was listening to one of his sermons this week, and he said something that was just right on point. if something sounds profound, it's probably not. Profundity is usually pretty simple. If something sounds deep, it's probably man-made. It's when something just sounds so simple that it's pretty deep. We pass by depth. Now, I have a definition that I use for Proverbs that may help you. They are God's concise principles for living a wise life. God's concise principles for living a wise life. Proverbs are not done by chapter. Now, we have 31 chapters, but sometimes there's as many as 15, 20 different Proverbs in a chapter. It's usually a series of verses, anywhere from 2 to 10 or 12 verses sometimes. And usually a proverb, it'll present the truth in a positive and a negative. It'll say, do this, or this will happen. Or if somebody's doing this, do this. It presents both the positive and the negative of the truth. Now, the word wisdom or the word wise is used over 119 times in the book of Proverbs. If you average that out, that's about 4 times a chapter. For God to say something that often, it's pretty important. If you understand Greek and Hebrew, the language is different than English in the fact that position and repetition deems the importance of something. So in the Hebrew language, the words put first are the most important ones, and how many times they're used also shows the importance of something. For instance, in English, a double negative isn't right. If you said, I ain't got no, okay, that's a double negative, all right? That's incorrect English grammar. But there are times in Scripture where it says that I shall know not, no shall never forget. And that's appropriate in Hebrew or Greek grammar. Because it's putting the emphasis on that it's really never, ever, 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 ever going to happen that way. So you have to understand that about the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs mostly were penned by the man Solomon, David's son. Now, understand something. Anybody remember who Solomon's mama was?
Bathsheba.
He was the son born after David committed adultery with Bathsheba and she lost the baby. And yet, he was the one God wanted on the throne to take over for King David. Now, we know that there are two other people that penned Proverbs as well. Proverbs chapter 30 was penned by a man named Augur, A-U-G. I think is how it's spelled. And then in chapter 31, of course, we call that the Proverbs 31 lady. That was penned by either Lemuel or his mother, the queen, according to Proverbs chapter 31, verses 1 through 4, 1 through 6, something like that. You'll find out, talks about, it is probably penned by Lemuel's mother. Now, by the way, it's all God's word. It was written in heaven before there ever was an earth.
Yes, sir.
So it's always been there. Man didn't write it. Man just penned it down.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to shift gears here, and I want to help you with something. This will be mentioned throughout all the Bible, but especially you see these. There are three kinds of people mentioned in the book of Proverbs. All right? And this is where, if you take notes, this might help you. There's someone called the simple person. Okay? The simple person. Simple doesn't mean mentally challenged. Simple means somebody that is unfolded. It's a person that doesn't understand right from wrong as much as the rest of the world. Wyatt, stand up on your chair there for a second. I'm going to let Preacher use you on your chair, not on the floor. For once, you get to stand on the chair on purpose. All right? Brother Stoltz, you can be the old man. Stand up here. You play that part well. Did you know that he is a bit more simple than he is? He knows more about right and wrong than he does. Now, he's getting to learn right and wrong pretty good right now, especially the wrong part, aren't you? You can have a seat there. You can have a seat. Simple means not complicated, unfolded, not understanding right from wrong. When a new person gets saved and they come into church, they don't understand everything about the Bible. They're simple. That doesn't mean they're bad. They could be an older person. Amen, Fred? But they could be simple. It's just because they've never heard any of these things before in their life. It's all brand new. If you went to, other than you, if you went to a place like Mexico, you would be simple to the Spanish language. You'd have a hard time till you figured it all out. Yeah, baño, casa, and comida. Three basic words you need. Food, bathroom, and house. Amen? And once you get past that, everything else is all right. And you got to make sure you get the right ones in the right place, though. Now, the simple person doesn't understand right from wrong as well. Did you know, and I would never do this, but I could probably take someone like that one, since he's not looking at me, I can say that, and not teach too. But I could teach him something that's wrong with him thinking that it's right. Say why? He's simple. Well, the preacher said it. I got to believe it. So I'll believe it. No, that's why it's important for us to teach them what's right. Because they are simple. All right? Then you have someone else mentioned called the fool. So you have the simple person, and then you have the fool. The fool is the person who knows right from wrong, but chooses to do wrong on purpose. A foolish person knows right from wrong, but chooses to do wrong. Foolish people are the ones, okay, did you know, nobody has to tell somebody that getting drunk is wrong. Everybody knows it. Adultery, everybody knows it's wrong. We don't have to teach people that it's wrong. It's known, but how many people do it? Drugs, doing illegal drugs and things. Everybody knows it's wrong. But may I say something? People who are foolish do it anyway. Now, you say, well, there's extenuating circumstances. We want to explain everything away. It's just flat out fool. S-I-N, sin and foolish. Knowing what's right and choosing to do that which is not right. You know you shouldn't drive over the speed limit. So when you do, and the police officer pulls you over, and you want to get mad at him because you broke the law, is foolishness. Well, I was only 5 miles an hour over. The speed limit is what the speed limit is. You're counting on them to give you a 5 mile an hour buffer. They don't have to. Some of you try to push that and say, well, if it says 70, then I can drive 75 and it's okay. They won't pull me over. But if they did, you're going to be upset. Guess what? That's foolish. If you broke the law, you broke the law. Okay. Hide on that one. Foolish people is the person who knows what right is, but chooses to do wrong. A young person that grows up in church, they hear the preaching of the Word of God from the time they're in the nursery on. And they hear what they're supposed to do. They hear the right kinds of music. They're around the right kind of people. And yet they turn into teenagers or young adults and they decide, I'm going to spread my wings and go do what I want to do. That's foolish. It's foolish. Well, what's wrong with it? What's right with it? I can back everything up. We teach you with the Word of God what's right with what you're doing. That's foolish, all right? Then you have third person, which is the wise person. Person who lives with wisdom. Now, I'm going to give you a quick definition, and I'm going to give you a definition of wisdom. A wise person seeks to do things God's way. A wise person seeks to do things God's way. So you have the simple person, you have the fool, and you have a wise person. You have somebody that doesn't understand right from wrong very well. Then you have the person who knows what's right and chooses wrong. Then you have the person that knows what's right and wrong and chooses what God would choose. Now let me ask you a question. Who would you rather be? I'd rather be the wise person. Any day of the week. Wisdom goes a long way in life. Now, let me give you a definition of wisdom so that you understand what wisdom is. I'm going to give you a couple definitions, and then I'm going to illustrate it a little bit here for you. One definition is the ability to see life through God's eyes. The ability to see life through God's eyes. Did you know the more you look at life the way God looks at it, the wiser you will become? Okay, anybody in here that is an adult, over probably the age of 30 and has had children, you know what I'm about to illustrate. You thought your parents were the meanest, weirdest, stupidest people in the whole world. And when you had your first kid, all of a sudden your parents started getting a whole lot smarter. All those things you said as a teenager, I'm never going to tell my kids this. And the first time they do something wrong and something blurts out of your mouth and you can hear your mom or your dad saying it through your voice. And you're going to say, oh my, now I understand. They were wiser than I thought they were. Yeah, they are. I can't tell you how many times I called my parents and apologized. Say, what is that? Being able to see life through God's eyes is the same thing. Our eyes are clouded with sin. We live foolish lives. Did you know God didn't sin?
Yes, sir.
Why do we want to tell God how he has to see life? We're supposed to see it as he sees it, not as we see it.
That's good.
So one is the ability to see life through God's eyes. Second is this, doing the right things the right way with the right people at the right time and at the right place in every situation. Wisdom is doing the right thing, the right way, at the right time, with the right people, in the right place, every time. Being appropriate to everything. Yesterday, we went to go move Marcia in. Did you know I didn't go in my suit? I had my blue jeans and my Ohio State Buckeyes t-shirt on. No, I didn't. I took that one off and wore a different one because I mowed the grass in that one. But I wasn't going to go in my suit. When I went turkey hunting a couple weeks ago, I didn't go in my white shirt and tie. Say why? Because everything in the woods would have been laughing at me, including me. Now, I have gone deer hunting with my church clothes on and put my camo coveralls on over top of it so I could hunt a little later, peel them off, throw a tie on, throw my suit coat on, and hit the church. Here we go. Say, you haven't done that. More times than you know I have. Wait a minute. But there's something called propriety. Wisdom is being proper in all situations. Let me show you what I mean. My wife and I went to the church new property here just before church started tonight. And I was standing there talking to the head fella over all the excavating project. And I asked him a question. I said, Bill, I hope you don't get tired of my questions. I said, I'm not questioning you. I said, I'm learning. I said, I plan on building more buildings. And the more you teach me, the less problems we're going to have next building you build. He said, I don't know where you were trained. He said, but I wished you'd train a whole bunch of other people. He said, some people just never learn. I said, well, I haven't learned all this. But I know this, I'm not done building. I said, I got an awful lot of plans for everybody's money. He started laughing. And I said, seriously, I said, can you teach me a little? And I said, I know a little about this, but I'm no way an expert. And before I left, I reached out, shake his hand. He said, oh, my hands are dirty. I said, I'm made out of dirt. Shake my hand. Shook his hand. He said, well, if you see something that's not quite right, let me know. He said, none of us are perfect. I said, well, you're going to know what's wrong before I do. I said, this is your area expertise. I said, fill in the building up after we get it in. That's mine. I said, your job is this. I said, I'll take care of, you take care of this, I'll take care of filling it up. How's that sound? He said, you are different. I said, I've been called worse. You know, wisdom is being appropriate. You know, that was the appropriate thing to do. I've run a backhoe before. I've got about 3 months worth of work on the back end of a, or on top of a backhoe. I know just enough about one of those things to where I don't want to use them anymore. I don't want to do what they're doing. Man, it's artwork out there for them. Those guys could pick each other's nose with the hooks on the bucket on that thing. They're that good. I'm not kidding. And no wasted motion, and it's not like this, you know. It's just fluid motion. I'm thinking, whew. No, I'm not going to embarrass myself. Not going to do it. Now, wait a minute. I let him be the lead. Can I tell you why? He's the leader out there. He knows that area better than I, and he knows that work better than I for sure. He's the boss. I'll let him be the boss. That's called wisdom. All right? All wisdom is based on truth, and without truth, there is no wisdom. Did you know if there's no truth, it's foolishness? Can I tell you what's wrong with our educational system in America today? It's not based on truth anymore. When you base fact on something that's not fact, it's foolish. Okay, everybody listen to this statement. Evolution is foolish. Evolution denies every principle of nature and science. Every one of them. There's not one part of evolution that's true.
Correct.
Not one. From the Big Bang to the evolutionary process. The laws of thermodynamics state that things are in a process of breaking down, not changing for the better.
That's right.
How did one single cell organism decide on its own without a brain that it needed to divide? How did the alligator, they'll tell you that over millions of years, it's one of the few animals that did not evolve because it didn't have to. It decided it was okay as it is.
Yeah, right.
That breaks every law of nature, just so you know, and every law of science. Every last one of them. Evolution is used in communism. Evolution was used to get away from God. Didn't come out to the 1860s. And your communist nations absorbed it, and your anti-God, anti-Christianity nations absorbed it to explain away Christianity so they could try to conquer the world. And yet we teach it as though it's right. So wisdom is based on truth. When we took that out of the public schools, look what happened. We had the sexual revolution of the 60s. We had the hippies. We have the students taking over the classrooms with the teachers being barricaded in. We have shootings in our schools. Can I tell you why we took the truth away? You now have people in the public schools and in schools all over America upset because I just read in the news this morning in one school, I forget what state it's in, that they've posted reminders in the hallway for the girl students to make sure that they have for their prom dresses that they're covered right. If not, they're going to have to wear this certain kind of cape to cover up. Morality. And the kids in the school are up in arms and they're taking the administration to court over it. I'll promise you I know who's going to win, and it's not going to be the adults. I'm old enough to remember when I went to public school as a kindergartner, I still couldn't wear blue jeans to school. You had to wear either dress pants or, what do you call those things, Dockers or something like that. I mean, you couldn't wear blue denim to school. And that was back in the none of your business. All right? Now, wait a minute. I'm not that old. I'm older than some, but I'm not that old. It's not like when my dad went to school in a one-room schoolhouse. I know it's not a bit funny, but it's true. All right. Okay, it was two rooms. Now, wait a minute. Wisdom, when you take truth away, you take the ability to have wisdom away. That's what's wrong with churches who use the wrong Bible. There's no wisdom because there's no truth. Why can we have rock concerts and stage shows and light shows and all the other trash that goes on in the community churches and the dramas and everything else, and we think it's spiritual and holy, but there's no truth to it? It's foolishness.
Yes, sir.
It's foolish. A different version of the Bible is man's interpretation of what God said, and man trying to lift himself up and say, I can say it better than God can. Can I tell you something? God knew how to say it. They want to criticize me for being ignorant, but they're the ones that have to have an easier Bible. Well, this one's easier to understand. If you get saved and the Holy Spirit of God's inside you, you can understand that one. I promise you. And I got to hurry. We have a foolish society because truth is now the enemy, not the standard. Now, if you tell the truth, you're the enemy. If you believe that a boy's supposed to go to the boy's bathroom and a girl's supposed to go to the girl's bathroom, you're weird. If you believe what was on your birth certificate that said male or female, it didn't say to be determined later, then you're the weird one. You're the extremist. Isn't it amazing? Everybody wants to talk about how much of a bully President Trump is, all the liberals. What are they doing to him? How kind has the press been towards him? I don't agree 100% with the fellow, but I'm more for him than I am the press.
Right.
All right, I got to hurry here. That's a little of the introduction. Now, let's get to the nuts and bolts. Look at your Bible, Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 1 again. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction. God gives us 9 things from verse 2 through verse number 6 that the entire book of Proverbs and what Proverbs are for. There are 9 things he says here. Verse number 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, equity, and judgment, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And there's 9 different things there that God gives us that the book of Proverbs is for. We're not going to get through all of them tonight. I'm going to start them because I'm going to teach them one by one. We'll get through them next week, the rest of the way. And we'll get through one or two of them tonight. But let me give you those 9 things. Number 1, to know wisdom. Number 2, to know instruction. Number 3, to perceive the words of understanding. Number 4, to receive the instruction of wisdom. Number 5, to receive the instruction of justice. Number 6, to receive the instruction of equity. Number 7, to give subtlety to the simple. Number 8, to give knowledge, and number 9, to give discretion. Those are all there in verses 2 through 5. And you can look at those later. Now, if you get the premise, all these 9 things, the book of Proverbs is going to come a whole lot easier to you. And by the way, that's not my outline. It's not one I read in somebody else's book. I happened to read it in God's book. He gave us the outline for it. If you notice, I don't read commentaries. A commentary is what somebody else says the Bible says. I'd rather see what God said. Amen. So that's what I do. My outlines always come from the Bible, pretty much so. So let me help you here. Number one, to know wisdom. Let me give you a definition for to know wisdom. Dink. All right, to know wisdom is to have respect for or be familiar, intimate friend with being proper in all situations as God views life. The word to know is not a intellectual word. It's not a knowledge word. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, and Adam knew his wife Eve, and she bare a son. The word know is an intimate word. It means there is a close, tight-knit intimacy about it. The Bible says that we are to know wisdom. That doesn't mean I know what wisdom is. It means you have a tight intimacy with it. Wisdom, which is, it's more than just a fact that you know that you can put down on paper. Wisdom is something that is inbred in you so deeply that you can't separate from it. I love my wife. I know my wife, and we could not separate without damage. She got to leave to go get my daughter here in a couple weeks and bring her back from college. Damage control, amen? I hate being away from my wife. She was in Florida for 4 or 5 days to see Josh and Ruth Ann. And that was a long 4 or 5 days for this old boy. We're not used to being away from each other. Say why? Because we know each other so well. That's the way we're supposed to be with wisdom. Everybody listen to this. Young people, the earlier you learn wisdom, the better your life will be. The younger you are when you begin learning wisdom, the better your life will be. Stay close to it. Stay close to people that have wisdom. We'll find out one of the principles of Proverbs is a wise person hangs around wise people, not foolish people. Wise people who hang around foolish people end up doing foolish things.
That's right.
You put one good apple in a barrel full of bad apples, that good apple doesn't change all the bad apples to good. Those bad apples will change the good apple.
Yes, sir.
It'll deteriorate it. It'll rot it. And you get yourself in a barrel full of rotten apples, you're going to come out stinking like the rest of them. You're going to rot like the rest of them. That's called wisdom. I stay away from those kind of people. That's why I have preachers. You've been preaching as long as I have, been in the ministry as long as I have. I know preachers who used to be good, who used to be right, who have changed. I no longer associate with them. I keep them at a distance because they've changed. I'm not going to change with them. Everybody doing okay? And I don't know at what time they started changing, so I get rid of all their books, all their tapes. I don't listen to anything they did say. I'll take what they built on me while I was around them, use it to keep right, but I don't promote it. Anybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. That's called wisdom.
Preach it.
I don't know where it was that they changed. So why should I go back and read things that possibly were while they were changing? Not going to do it. You go back to the 1940s, 1950s, Billy Graham believed like I believe. You go to the 1970s, Billy Graham said, I'm not sure there's even a hell. We have problems, Houston. You go back into the 1950s, Billy Graham used to be on the board of the Sword of the Lord with John R. Rice. Do you know who took his place? John R. Rice and Billy Graham got into an argument, and Bob Jones Sr., because Billy Graham started taking citywide campaigns, taking his converts and giving them to the Catholics, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians, and everybody else to follow up on. He started joining up with everybody to get big crowds. He said, it's okay, I can get them saved, they can do the follow-up. And that's not how you're supposed to do it. Amen. John Rice and a bunch of the others got upset with him, and there was a big battle. And Jack Hiles took his place on the board of the Sword of the Lord because John Rice fired him. At one time, Billy Graham was decent. I believe God used Billy Graham to see a lot of people get saved. But may I say this? It's not Billy Graham who got people saved. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that gets people saved.
Amen.
It's not the messenger, it's the message. George W. Bush got saved by Billy Graham. I've read George Bush's testimony. I've heard him say it in public. I believe that with all my heart. I believe George Sr. and Barbara got saved because of Billy Graham. I've read it. I've heard him say it. I think God has used Billy Graham to a certain degree just because he gave the right message, not because he was right in all areas. But I don't read Billy Graham's books. I don't listen to his sermons. I don't listen to his son. Okay, I got to hurry up here. So, to know wisdom. All you do needs to point to getting closer to wisdom. Now, let me say this, and I'll finish for the night. There are basically three ways to get wisdom. There are basically three ways to get wisdom. Young people, you ought to listen to this. Three ways to get wisdom. Number one, the Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible is God's words. The Bible not only contains God's words, they are God's words. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
The words of God are wisdom. All right? So the Bible is a very good book, and it is a book of wisdom, the whole thing. You get wisdom from the Word of God. Well, I don't want to go see the preacher because he's just going to say, well, the Bible says this. Well, you ought to thank God you got a preacher that knows what the Bible says.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to hear what the Bible says. I want to do... Okay, now it's a matter of you wanting to be God and not letting God be God.
Right.
So we get wisdom, number one, by the Bible. Number two, according to the Bible, you get wisdom by wise people. By wise people. Please let me say this without being offensive. Just because somebody's older doesn't mean they're wise. I was out the other day and I saw this lady. She had to be in her 70s. And she had purple hair. Yes. And a tattoo up and down her arm. Yes. I don't know what the tattoo was, but it sure was sagging an awful lot. could have been a racehorse, but it looked like an elephant because it was all wrinkled up, you know? I have no idea. But may I say this, just because somebody's older doesn't mean they're wiser. I do know this, you shouldn't get your wisdom from somebody about your age. If you're a teenager, there's not a teenager in the world that has more wisdom than any adult. You've not experienced enough life. I believe godly people are wise people. Sunday school teachers we have here are wise people. The folks that work here and help me with the board and different things, they're wise people. Please forgive me. Your preacher happens to know a little bit more about life than most people. I've spent my whole life doing this. I happen to know a little bit. You'd be surprised how much I know if you'd let me help you. And I'm not lifting myself up. But I happen to know a little bit more about life because I've helped more people get through life than most people. you learn wisdom that way. So you learn wisdom through the Bible. You learn wisdom through wise people. Thirdly, you get wisdom through the experience of life.
Especially the reproofs.
The rough spots. Now listen to me. Young people, old people, middle-aged people, not so old, not so young. When you make a mistake, learn from it. Yeah, all y'all. Good old Florida term. All y'all. Can I tell you something? If you make a mistake, it's all right. But learn from it. Don't make the same stupid mistake twice. I may make a lot of mistakes, but I don't generally make the same one twice. I have this one written down. I'm not going to belabor it, but I learned a long time ago you don't use gasoline for a brush fire.
Come on, it's so fun.
I had a brush pile about the size of this auditorium when I was in South Carolina. We had about a 5-gallon can of gasoline down there. We had a big cleanup day. Well, I put about 3 gallons of gas on that thing, and it was kind of crescent-shaped. I'm throwing gas all over this thing, and I thought, I'm going to get real smart here. So I put me about a 20-foot leader on that thing. What I didn't know was we had a little gentle breeze blowing right into the closed end of that thing, and it was just sitting there doing this. I got a fellow over there that's got a garden hose that I can promise you I could spit more water out of than had water pressure. He got the hose, he said. I got you, Brother Bush. I lit that match. I thought, I'm going to light this thing and go this way. I lit that match. I threw it down on the ground, and the whole world went. It picked me up. I had fire all around me. Because all I could see was yellow. Threw me about 15, 20 feet this way. And as all as I could remember was, don't breathe. And it was like God put his hands around me and said, you fool, and threw me on the ground. I hit and rolled. My arm was on fire, burned my elbow, back of my elbow. It was so hot, my eyelashes melted to my sunglasses. When I took my glasses off, I had to pull them off, and there was about 20 or 30 eyelashes on each one, all the way around from where my eyelashes melted to my sunglasses. I'm not kidding. When I finally got up, I hear this, Brother Bush, you okay? And I see this little of water out of this hose thinking, that didn't do much. There were people running. The ground shook. There was about a 60-foot live oak tree there with Spanish moss hanging around. Notice the tense of the word was. There was guys working on the roof of the church, and the fireball went over the top of the church. The ground shook. Oh, it was exciting. 3-gallon gas bomb. I don't like lighting the propane thing on my grill anymore if it goes woof. That noise just does something to me. I don't like that woof noise. I know, I've been around that once too many times. You say, what is that? Wisdom. I didn't use gasoline ever again. If we can't find kerosene, we're going to find another way to light that fire. I learned. That's called wisdom. You make a mistake like that, you're not going to make it again. If you do, you're not going to live through it. We're supposed to use the experience of life. Why is it our world keeps making the same mistakes over and over and over and over again? Ben Franklin said the only thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history. Or those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it. We have watched history repeat itself over and over and over and over and over and over again. Say why? Because people don't learn from it. Folks, communism has never worked. Socialism has never worked. And America is running to communism and socialism in our college campuses faster than you can believe. Bernie Sanders just about got the vote for president. An avowed communist. Who'd have thunk it in our lifetime? So, wisdom, you get it one of three ways. The Word of God, wise people, and the experience of life. Now, look at me and listen to me, and I'm done. When you live in your Bible, and you listen to wise people, and you learn from the experience of life, as a young person, you can be wise younger in life. I started preaching when I was 13 years old. I sought wisdom. I gained wisdom. I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't make them usually twice. Guaranteed I didn't with gasoline. Or electricity. But may I say this? The earlier you learn it, the longer you can be wise. By the way, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You can ask God for it. He's going to give it to you through wise people in the Word of God. He may give it to you through experience because you're too stubborn to listen. Now, I'll say this and I'm done. Wise young people end up being wise adults. But the Bible also says wise people aren't always wise. I've watched a lot of wise adults do stupid things. King David was a wise man, but he made a lot of mistakes. Just because you get it doesn't mean you use it all the time. Moses was a wise man, but he didn't use wisdom all the time. Daniel was a wise man, but he didn't use wisdom all the time. Look at the disciples. Most of you would have never chosen any of the disciples to be your pastor. They didn't even know what they believed for a while. They saw Jesus walking on the water, and they believed in ghosts more than once. Oh, it's a spirit. Ghostbusters. E.T. They had no idea. Can I tell you something? Wisdom is one of the most important things you can ever get. The book of Proverbs is about wisdom. Did you know if you have wisdom, you'll make less mistakes? And you can help more people? The Bible says you'll have better finances. Didn't say it would be perfect, but you can have better finances if you use wisdom. You can have better relationships. You can have better work experience. Every part of life is affected by wisdom. Every part of it. Because it's applicable to every aspect of life. That's one of the nine things. We'll get through the other eight starting next week. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And we will have you stand and the piano begin to play. If you